Practically Perfect Parenting Podcast. I'm Sarah Polinchek. Today's topic, the self-regulation cure part two. I'm here with my co-host, John Sumich-Lanigan. Hi, John. How are you today?
I'm very self-regulated because I know the secret.
You do? Oh, good.
Yes. I'd also like to thank our sponsors, the Charles Engelhardt Foundation and NPEN.org, the National Parenting Education Network, for supporting our podcasts.
Great. So, John, in our last episode, we talked about the world of feelings and emotions, or, you know, self-regulation. And I hope we were effective in conveying the importance of understanding this world, but maybe we should do a little review.
Yes. One good review thing to start with is a definition, self-regulation. Three parts. The first part, kind of emotional, physical self-control, or the ability to calm or regulate ourselves emotionally and physically. The second part is to behaviorally act in ways that are consistent with our core values, because we're not reacting or overreacting to things. And the third is to be able to do these things without any kind of external or chemical aid.
Mm-hmm. You know, sort of the way you're talking, I just want to say, it doesn't mean we're going to be robots or anything, right?
I hope not. No.
So we're going to still have all the feelings that we have. It's just that we're going to be able to manage them. And once they get triggered and maybe we're feeling really amped up about something, we're able to get ourselves back to that place where we want to be.
That's an excellent point. We will still go up and down, but we'll be able to feel a little bit more in control of those ups and downs, mm-hmm. not robotic. Yeah. We will still feel passion.
Yes.
And anger.
But return to peace when we want to, in a rate that feels comfortable to us.
Right. Yeah. Maybe a little more efficiently.
Yeah. So, yay. In our last episode, we talked about just a few of the many reasons that managing our emotions is important. I'm wondering, here's a test. Do you remember any of those?
No, not really. You're always wanting to quiz me. And I am going to say, though, that I believe, because you wrote this out for me, that self-regulation provides a foundation for healthy relationships. Mm-hmm. It helps us rely on our inner coping mechanisms, mm-hmm. right, instead of meth.
Yeah, meth or drinking.
Opioids now.
Yeah. Lots of external choices that we have to regulate ourselves.
Yeah, and when we can self-regulate, we are less inclined toward infection or disease or accidents or any of those kinds of bad things.
So many good things. So I think we all want to learn this.
It's universal. I think we both agree.
Yeah, I'm sold. Also, last time we talked about 5 steps for becoming our child's emotion coach. This is, as a reminder, work done by John Gottman. He's out of the University of Washington. We talk about him a lot, and I'm just going to review these kind of quick.
Okay.
So we need to be aware of our child's emotions. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's hard not to be aware of them.
Gotta tune in.
Right. But sometimes the emotions are really big and loud and, you know. But other times, kids can quietly be sad and go off, and it's easy not to notice that. The first thing is just to be aware. Second is to view emotional expression as an opportunity for growth and closeness.
Mm, that's a nice frame.
Mm-hmm. So we look forward to having emotion because there is opportunity there.
Right. We are not robots. We're emotional beings, and we should look forward to those experiences.
Exactly. Next, we want to help kids develop an emotional vocabulary. Mm-hmm. I think all of us know happy and angry, mm-hmm. right? But going beyond that, saying things like, gosh, I'm feeling a little nervous, mm-hmm. or I'm feeling a little anxious, or, oh, yeah. Are you a little worried? Or are you a little frustrated by that? You know, really expanding the vocab.
Yeah. Disappointed is one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. I mean, disappointed is a natural thing. Just something didn't turn out the way you wanted it to.
Yeah.
Disappointed.
Yeah.
I'm not disappointed to be doing this podcast, but.
Oh, good.
All right, and then I guess 4 and 5, I'll add those.
Yeah.
Listen and validate. Listen to your child, those emotions. Validate. Of course, you feel disappointed. Of course, it seems like you're a little bit annoyed at your brother. Mm-hmm. Of course. Mm-hmm. And set limits, the 5th one, and help problem solve.
Yeah.
So set limits, help problem solve. Emotions are important. They're signals. We need to understand them and maybe problem solve.
I'm just going to add, too, that I think one of the biggest mistakes we make as emotion coaches is that we skip step 4, which is listen and validate, and we go right to limits or problem solving.
Yes.
So that's just a common error that we want to remind
right.
everyone.
Right. And, of course, we've just gone through these 5 steps. Mm-hmm. I just want to say, man, it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard not to want to leap forward mm-hmm. into number 5.
Let's just skip all of it.
Yeah.
No listening, no connecting, no validating. Let's just fix it all.
Yeah. It is really hard to stay with it. And so I just want to say, like most things for parents, don't judge yourself too harshly on this. Mm-hmm. It's a tough one, but keep working at it.
Yeah, and that's why we're sort of reviewing this and repeating it from the last episode, right. Because it's hard. So all of these things are so important. However, one enormous giant thing we need to do first. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
We as parents need to have a grip on our own emotions ourselves. We need to be able to self-regulate before we can go and be anybody else's emotion coach, right? Certainly, I wouldn't want to try to be your swimming coach if I was unable to swim down to one end of the pool and back.
That's right. Get a grip, Sarah. Mm-hmm. Get a grip on those emotions.
So we as parents have to be kind of good at this, and that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Yes, I totally agree. We've got some concrete strategies to help parents do that self-regulation and or swim back and forth, learn to swim themselves before they teach their children. And so how about you start and share some of your favorites?
Okay. So one of them, this is just, I think, a foundation, is that we have to be aware of what triggers us.
Mm.
You know, and when I'm thinking my kids are now teenagers, I think about what triggered me when they were younger. And gosh, it's really different than it is now. A lot of times when they were younger, it was like intentional messes. Mm. And maybe it wasn't even intentional, but just I was already tired and overwhelmed a lot when they were toddlers, you know. And I can remember one time I was running around the house trying to get everything clean, also entertaining them and making sure they were safe. And I was having this voice in the back of my head like, man, self, you're amazing. You do a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was all proud. Mm-hmm. And then I'd come around the corner and they both had opened up all the drawers to the dresser and emptied out and throwing the nicely folded clothes like it was confetti.
Mm.
I came unregulated.
Mm. Yeah. And again, that's not unusual. It's okay to become dysregulated or unregulated.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it's nice to be able to recover as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm. But I knew that about myself, that gosh, I am triggered by extra work when I'm already feeling so busy.
Right. And so that awareness, you're trying to make the point that that awareness is really important.
Mm-hmm. It's helpful.
Okay. I totally agree. The thing that's interesting about awareness to me with parenting is, and the same thing is true with romantic relationships,
mm-hmm.
and that is oftentimes the same things will annoy us over and over and over mm-hmm. and over again. Right? It's like the romantic partner does something that you know that she or he is going to do, and it's like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
Or your child, once again, sneaks a cookie or throws the folded clothes
mm-hmm.
on the floor
mm-hmm.
or messes something up that you have worked hard at straightening up. We know those things are coming, right?
I know.
How come that would make us mad when you just know it's going to happen anyway?
Yeah, why would it make us mad? It does. It's hard.
Right. Why does it dysregulate us? I think what we're talking about now is how not only can we be aware of our own buttons, but how can we reframe the kinds of behaviors that trigger us
mm-hmm.
so that they're a little less triggering? And one thing I try to do is I think, well, I know my wife will tend to do this thing that annoys me,
mm-hmm.
right? One thing that I'll just share. I think it's okay with her.
Well, this is exciting.
Yeah. Occasionally, she will put things in the doorway, and I will trip over them.
Mm.
And it used to be more annoying to me, and so she'll have things sitting all over the place. And now I just think, oh, I can move that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not that big a deal, really. Yeah. It would be nice if the doorway was clear, but the doorway is not clear, and that's okay.
So I'm hearing that you've just adjusted the way that you view the situation, the way that you think about it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way to reframe it. It's like, well, I am perfectly capable of moving things and clearing out the doorway myself. Mm-hmm. And so I will just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not mad. I'm not mad at Rita. It's just like part of the reality that I live in.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that makes me think of that scenario when I walked in with my kids throwing all the clothes all over the place, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, instinctively, it's like, how could you do this to me? How, you know, haven't you been watching me clean and do all this work? And don't you know how tired I am? Well, you know what? No, they don't. They were 2 and 4. They
right.
don't know. They didn't see it as clean clothes. Their thought process doesn't say to themselves, oh, look at this hard work that someone did to put this shirt folded so nicely in here. They just see, oh, how fun. Look at, we can throw things up in the air.
Exactly.
And developmentally, they were appropriate.
Right. Yeah. Right. So to be able to frame it that way, too, is like it has nothing to do with me. They're not out to get me. They're not peering into my brain and they don't pick out my issues and then throw them on the floor. Mm-hmm. No. And just like the construction workers today on my way to this recording, they were not just trying to stop me.
How can we get John Summers flying?
It's not personal. All right. So that's a really important sequence also. Be aware and then try to think about it a little bit differently so that we can cope with it more effectively. Because if we think about what our child is doing that's annoying us differently, it might help us to stay a little more regulated.
Good. Okay.
All right. You got some other techniques.
I do. The next one, I know. Breathing. Mm. This is so good. And some of our listeners might say, why do we need to learn about breathing? We're all pretty good at it. But there are ways of breathing that can really help us become more self-regulated. And I have two different techniques specifically. The first one is called 478. It's by Dr. Andrew Weil. He is, maybe a lot of people already have heard of him. He's from Tucson, Arizona, and he's a medical doctor, but he really focuses on holistic health. Mm-hmm. And one of the, I'll just read here what he says about this specific technique. He says, use it whenever anything upsetting happens before you react. Use it whenever you are aware of internal tension. Use it to help you fall asleep. Use it to deal with food cravings. It's great for mild to moderate anxiety. This exercise cannot be recommended too highly. Everyone can benefit. I mean, sounds pretty good.
Yeah. So what is it?
Okay, so 478.
Okay.
So you breathe in for the count of four,
mm-hmm.
hold your breath for the count of seven, and exhale for the count of eight. And the whole idea is that it's the rhythm of that. No, now you need to release, John. Don't pass out on me. So it's just the rhythm. So it doesn't really matter the pace in which you do this, but it's the consistency so that you're getting into a rhythm of mm-hmm. in for four, hold for seven, out for eight continuously. And you want to do that four times.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's important is that we wouldn't recommend to a parent that, hey, just go start doing this breathing when you get upset. It's something that works better if you practice in advance.
Right.
You know, just like if you're weightlifting. I mean, you can't go to the weightlifting competition if never lifting weights. You have to practice this in advance.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You're giving lots of sports metaphors today.
Yeah.
You did the swimming thing.
I know.
Now weightlifting.
Yeah.
What I really like about what you're saying is, and this is an important thing because a lot of times people miss this, your out breath should be longer than your in breath mm-hmm. to really have it be calming. And there's really kind of this sweet spot, and it doesn't really fit into the 479 thing, but I'm going to share it anyway.
478. But
478. And that's when you are done with your out breath, there's a place where you just don't even breathe before you breathe in. And if you really work on it, that's what kind of those fancy yogis really focus on. And they can almost get their breathing to go extremely slowly if they focus on that sweet spot right after the out breath.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's something to play around with and experiment with if you want.
Yeah. And actually, Dr. Weil, his last name is W-E-I-L, and he has like a quick little 7-minute video on this that is free online.
Ah, check it out.
To look. Yeah, I think it's very helpful.
All right. You're jumping into resources.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah. So the next one is something that the Navy SEALs do.
Ooh.
Now, some people might say, well, I'm a parent. What do I need to do?
It's a lot like being a Navy SEAL.
Exactly. Right? We have to be confident. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have to be in control of ourselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, just like a Navy SEAL.
Yeah.
Okay.
Calm,
mm-hmm.
cool,
mm-hmm.
composed.
Yes. So this technique isn't a breathing exercise that we would do to try to help us go to sleep. It's not one that's so relaxing. It's more one that's going to help us when we really need to stay focused.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so two different kinds. This one, it's a four count. So you breathe in for four, hold for four, out for four, and then breathe in again for four.
Mm-hmm.
And what is recommended is that you do that for 5 minutes, and it really helps people feel like they're a lot more focused.
Nice.
So the important thing is whatever works.
These are reminding me a little bit of some yoga stuff I used to do where mm-hmm. we did alternate nostril breathing. And it was really cool because you would just
weird.
It's okay. It's weird, you know, but it's kind of like Navy SEAL.
Mm-hmm.
We're battle ready. We're alternating our nostril breathing.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right.
So I have something to add to for self-regulation, and that is mindfulness.
Good.
Mindfulness is super popular, maybe too popular.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody talks about mindfulness. It's really a place, it's a mental state of focusing on the present moment and accepting it. Mm-hmm. So two parts there. Present moment, I'm tuning into it, I'm accepting it as it is, not trying to change it, because a lot of times we get into that problem-solving mode, and that can cause us a lot of anxiety mm-hmm. and get us dysregulated, especially if it's something we don't have a lot of control over. And so present moment, acceptance. You can focus in on your breathing, or you could focus in on physical sensations. And Jon Kabat-Zinn, who's probably written about it as much as anybody, and he really popularized it early on, he says you can do it when you're cleaning a stove. Hmm. So
sounds fascinating.
That seemed sarcastic, but I'm mindfully accepting your sarcasm right now.
No, I need to be more mindful. It's something it's on my list.
Right. You need to do more deep breathing too. The research is clear that that helps and that mindfulness helps and that all these self-regulation things help us be better parents, help us to be better coworkers, help us in all kinds of different ways, but we don't do it.
I know. So this the thing is I believe in all this stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm a counselor. I think it all works.
Yeah.
And the breathing, I will say, I can do that because I can do that when I'm watching a movie or you can just do it when you're around people and it doesn't, mm-hmm. no one knows. It's fine.
Right.
But the mindfulness thing, I have this idea that in order to do mindfulness, I need time alone. Mm-hmm. And so my funny story is that I've actually done mindfulness 3 times where I put on a podcast and I listen and I go up and do it. And I can do this when my kids are gone. And mm-hmm. I think, oh, I have the house to myself. I'm alone. I'm going to go be mindful for 10 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. All 3 times, Owen, love this kid,
yeah,
rings the doorbell in the middle.
Wow. He's like your mindfulness partner.
Oh, my gosh. And watch me become dysregulated. Doesn't this kid know I'm trying to be mindful? But that's the point is there's so much interruption and disruption. I don't know how we tell parents go off and be mindful. I mean, it doesn't seem realistic.
Well, it's not realistic. And the ideal of being mindful all the time is something no one ever achieves. Mm-hmm. And so really it's about being kind of prepared for Owen's interruption and not reacting to it too much because it's like meditating. We know our mind will wander, mm-hmm. and it's like with mindfulness. We know we will not always be mindfully accepting of the present moment or tuned into it. And it's more a matter of noticing when we get knocked off of that place or out of that place of mindfulness and just to bring ourselves back to it. Sometimes we only bring ourselves back to it for 5 seconds, and then we get dysregulated or unmindful again. But the process of being aware of it and bringing ourselves back to being mindful as often as we can is a healthy thing. I get disrupted all the time, and sometimes I mindfully swear.
Mm, nice.
Yeah. I think that's part of what life brings you. I'm aware of the fact that I'm swearing at something that happened that I didn't want to have it happen. Mm-hmm. And I try to do that only alone. I don't swear in front of anybody else. It's a nice little self-control thing.
Good for you.
Yeah. but it is, I mean, the point I'm trying to make is that we will all get disrupted. It's a matter of coming back to that mindful place as quickly as we can. Now, the other thing that the mindfulness people would say is, you have to have a mindfulness practice. You really have to do it. Now, when do you do it? Well, you make time for it. You have to weave it into your day. You have to make that commitment to make sure that you're practicing it more often than Owen comes over.
But I guess what I'm also hearing you say is that we don't necessarily have to go off and sit in a corner on a yoga mat for half an hour to be mindful, right?
Right.
For people realistically who have young kids at home or any kids around within a mile radius.
Yeah.
It's just about you can go on and do tasks and be mindful with your tasks. And maybe that's not as effective as mm-hmm. if you can really take that 10-minute break and go be mindful, but it is helpful.
Right. Yeah. But there are choices, right? I mean, you mm-hmm. can choose to watch an episode of something on television mm-hmm. or to take that 26 minutes to do some mindfulness meditation.
Okay.
And or when you're lying in bed, you can do some mindfulness meditation while you're lying in bed instead of letting your brain just kind of flitter all over the place. Mm-hmm. So I think that there are choices that we make about how we spend our time and that we, even as busy parents, can weave in a little bit of time for mindfulness if we're committed to it.
All right.
Huh? Yeah, I can tell I convinced you about that.
I'm going to try to do it.
Okay. Well, other techniques, body scan, which is really starting like with your big left toe. Think about that right now. That's an amazing thing about the brain, mm-hmm. is if you want to, you can think about your left toe or your big toe on your left foot, mm-hmm. your big left toe. Anyway, you can think about that and be aware of it, even though you hadn't thought about it all day. Mm-hmm. So another strategy or two, some of them are more physical, and one of them is progressive muscle relaxation, been researched a ton. Mm-hmm. And that involves like tensing muscles and then relaxing them. And some people really like that kind of physical intervention, and they can practice that when they're lying in bed. Or they can also practice it several times during the day where you just become aware of, all of a sudden, think about the back of your neck and the mm-hmm. tension that might be there. And our brain is an amazing thing. You might not have thought of that tension all day. Just bring your shoulders up, tighten mm-hmm. the back of your neck, and then 1, 2, 3, let it go. And we can let go of some of that tension.
Okay. So I have a tough question for you.
Okay, I'm ready.
How would tensing and relaxing my neck muscles help me become a better parent?
That is a really good question. Mm-hmm. And one way that it might help, and it'll be different for different people, mm-hmm. is that I think the ability to bring ourselves back to center, the ability to use tools and techniques and strategies to become self-regulated helps us to teach our kids to be self-regulated. Mm-hmm. And so in the middle of that storm, when that your kids have thrown all your folded clothes on the floor, mm-hmm. you might take a deep breath.
Yeah.
You might do some Navy SEAL breathing.
Mm-hmm.
You might also tighten those shoulders and then just let them go.
Yeah.
And it can help bring you back to center and calm yourself down more quickly.
Yeah, and as you're talking about it, I can see, I'm remembering those days where the days feel like they go on and on and on, and it's tiring. And to kind of do some of those exercises throughout the day, I can see would help almost be a reset.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Nice. I have one last one.
One last one.
It's going to sound funny.
I know.
Hugging.
Hugging can help with self-regulation.
Mm-hmm. But really, there's so, so much research on the power of touch,
mm-hmm.
okay? So just a couple. One is that they've gone into many nursing homes and talked to the residents there and found that just having a conversation helps them feel better.
Mm.
But if they have a conversation with somebody who's also massaging their hands at the same time, their cognitive abilities go up. Like, there's so many positive things that happen. It reduces their likelihood of getting infection. I mean, it's just a really powerful thing.
Yes.
If someone is experiencing pain and they're holding someone's hand at the same time, their tolerance for pain mm-hmm. goes up.
Mm-hmm.
So, hugging, you know? I mean, we just need to be, we're meant to live together and be close people.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of power in that touch. And so one of the things that I have heard, I don't know all the studies on this, but
yeah.
that when you give someone a hug, it should last 7 seconds for the physiological reaction to be helpful.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something funny about that?
I'd be glad to hear something funny about that.
So,
because I'm thinking of funny things about that too.
So it used to be easy to hug mm-hmm. my kids for 7 seconds and they liked it. Now I would go to give anything to go back to those days, because now I go to them for a hug. And after about 3 seconds, you feel them release, like their tolerance is just over. And I'm like, no, we need 4 more seconds. And they're pushing away and I'm trying to hold them. And I think, I don't know that we're getting what we need out of this when I'm having to squeeze them and force them into it. And it's kind of funny.
I think maybe the point you're making there, Sarah, and it's quite a good one, is that the hug may not be exactly the same for both people.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it needs to be a mutually consented upon hug.
I actually got lectured about that from my 16-year-old.
All right.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad that he is getting you focused in on how to behave. So time for some cha-ching mm-hmm. tips. You got a tip?
I do. And okay, I know I sound like a broken record,
mm-hmm.
but we need the basic foundation, which is our healthy bodies, which starts with healthy sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all know that if we are trying to manage ourselves, we cannot do that when we're overwhelmed and over-fatigued.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody just needs to be getting that minimal amount of sleep. Have I mentioned that before?
You have mentioned that before. And I'm going to mention something that I would recommend is to explore a mindfulness book, a progressive relaxation tape, or, as we say now, a digital recording of a progressive relaxation thing or visual imagery. I did some consultation once with the women's soccer team at the University of Montana, and the coach asked me, well, she said, we've done this visual imagery thing, but it just doesn't seem to work for all of our players.
Oh, yeah.
And really, one size does not fit all. Mm-hmm. And so find what you think works for you in this menu of options. And deep breathing might be it. It might be the Navy SEAL breathing. It might be the Andrew Weil breathing. Mm-hmm. 3-4-8?
4-7-8.
4-7-8. Just checking to see if you remembered. So pick a calming strategy, a self-regulating strategy, and use it. Practice it over and over and over.
And I'm going to add on to that and just emphasize with what you just said, which is practicing. We can't rely on these in the moment when we need them if we haven't been doing them, you know, throughout the day, little bits.
Okay. Resources.
So I like this app. It's called Stop, Breathe, and Think. They have 30 free meditation exercises and activities, and they have versions for kids, too. I just think there's really good stuff on there.
Cool. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to recommend Jon Kabat-Zinn's book, Wherever You Go, There You Are, Mindfulness Meditation in Everyday Life.
Nice.
He and his wife have also written a mindfulness book for parents. And there's also another resource that might be useful called Peaceful Parent, Happy Kids Workbook. It's by a woman named Laura Markham. And in closing, Sarah, I would like to say,
I'm feeling so regulated.
You're regulated. Mm-hmm. And I hope everybody understands that this is not easy.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not easy to get regulated. It's not easy to stay regulated. It's not easy to be a good regulated role model for our kids. And we will all make mistakes. Mm-hmm. But I hope that our listeners can find their strategy. Mm-hmm. And maybe the strategy is to listen over and over and over again to our podcasts, which are very regulating.
I bet that would help everybody.
Wouldn't it?
Great.
All right. Thanks for listening.
The Practically Perfect Parenting Podcast is sponsored in part by the Charles Englehart Foundation, audio engineer Mike Matthews, production assistant Joey Moore, and co-hosts Sarah Polinchek and John Summers Flanagan.